from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Cruz. Here's one thing I'll say positively about
especially
him.
When you give up. What's the pitcher's name again, Mulsey?
Shim.
See, that's more like it. You're going to my route.
Shim. That guy, Shim.
What was the guy from the Three Stooges who filled in?
Shemp. And then there was a fake Shemp. They had Larry, Moe, Curly, and Shemp, but then there was a fake Shemp who was only photographed from behind because the real Shemp died.
And wasn't Shemp from Youngstown? Or from Steubenville or something like that?
I believe so, yes.
Don't we have a connection to Shemp?
Oh, there's Shemp connections running wild here, man. You got Shemp from Steubenville or wherever. You got Dean Martin.
Do you think that there's like a welcome to this part of town,
home of Shemp? I hope. There better be one for fake Shemp too, though. No, the thing I'd say about De La Cruz is this. He was on a horrible team offensively, one of the few teams worse than the Pirates. I guess I do have to concede one of the things that could help him is maybe there's a little, you know, pep in the step, but get a little kickstart the way Chisholm's had with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Because he's in a, I can't believe I'm saying this, but technically he's moving to a slightly better lineup. You could conceivably find a pretty solid hitter to put behind him, whereas that player might not have existed. Was he hitting behind Chisholm most of the time in that Marlins lineup? Was he protection for Chisholm?
All right, so the last time the Marlins would have played a game with Chisholm would have been last Friday before he got traded to the Yankees on Saturday, so that would have been the 26th. Donnie, go back and look at the Marlins lineup on July 26th and see where De La Cruz was in it and who was around him. So B- from The Athletic. The way that the whole, not just me trying to push my narrative on everyone else, just generally speaking, I feel like fans feel much better about what the Pirates did then in this column or in this article. Speaking of columns, where was he hitting De La Cruz?
De La Cruz was third.
Who was ahead of him and who was behind him?
Chisholm was the leadoff man. Xavier Edwards was the number two hitter. Bell was right behind him.
Okay, so that's not great lineup protection at all, really.
I mean,
he was also 2 for 5 in the game, a couple of ribbies. And
I'm
a home
saying,
run.
You might see slightly better lineup protection depending on where they choose to hit him. By the way, Shemp from Brooklyn, not from Steubenville. Oh. I don't know what you were.
I thought there was a Three Stooges local connection, no? I think he'll be sandwiched between Cruz and Tellez.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I assumed, and honestly, man.
Break up the lefties.
Rowdy Tellez, good enough protection right now.
Last two months.
Tellez hit one last night that would have been probably either over the wall or off the wall had it been about, what, 6 feet to the right of where it was hit? I mean, he hit that one about 395
feet. Ben Cherington is the Rowdy Tellez of GMs for me this year.
Suddenly he has come on strong.
Yep.
Donnie, he's had a whole season's worth of production in one day.
Donnie,
one
what does it remind you of? The Undertaker.
Did you send that tweet out? If you did not send a tweet that said
I didn't.
Ben Charrington at like 5:50 and it just had the Undertaker sitting up, you missed an opportunity.
Yeah, the last half hour was quite hectic all around.
Oh, and you're probably putting out so much content for Craig.
So, Dejan's column, this is another one I wanted to bring up on the deadline. I would describe everything I read here as a backhanded compliment. Do you like backhanded compliments? In the end, someone's still saying something nice about you, but I always feel like backhanded compliments are through gritted teeth.
I don't like backhanded compliments at all. I don't.
Think I'd prefer no compliment in those situations.
I would prefer silence.
So Dejan started his column by saying, Ben Charrington improved the Pirates. That's the first sentence. The next one is incrementally, it appear. And then at the end, he goes on to say, make no mistake about it. It was a good day for the Pirates. It was a great day with the moves they made. It showed that they were buying. But in the middle of this, there was a lot of two things, I would say, to generalize what he wrote.
Okay.
He could have gotten better players, and he could have gotten them sooner. Do you think that that is a fair criticism?
He could have gotten players sooner, I think. But that's virtually impossible to tell. Like, was the Marlins price for De La Cruz higher? And then as they got closer, they just said, well, this is the best offer anyone's given us. He's been in touch with us. You don't know, because that's one thing you're never going to be privy to full on. Even Dejan, who might have people telling him this, that, or the other, they might not be telling the whole truth. You can never fully know unless you're literally the person conducting the conversation or you're in the room with them.
He said it's fair to question if you're only making incremental improvements, why you couldn't have made them weeks, if not months ago.
I don't know if I agree with could have gotten better players. I guess he could have, but he would have had to spend more, I think.
The only team that managed to really do that, and I will admit they're a team that's a competitor, they're direct competition with the Pirates right now because they'd make the playoffs right now as a wild card. San Diego's the only team in baseball that did that. They got a rise way before the deadline. Mm-hmm. If they end up making the playoffs, in addition to being hyper-aggressive with what they were willing to give up for guys like the closer trade yesterday for Scott, their GM should get huge praise for making that move as early as he did to
bolster
shape their
them.
Season. Yes. So, like, comparing Charrington to A.J. Preller, I would say Preller's done a better job. But that's one of 30 general managers. And then Dejan writes that a lot wasn't given up for Randy Arozarena and Jazz Chisholm, who are better players than the guys the Pirates picked up. And I agree with that. Like, I would rather have Chisholm for sure over the guys that they got. And to lesser degree, Arozarena, but not, I don't know. Like, I'm always spooked to do business with the Rays, and he's not had a good year. So I think I'd actually, you know what, I'll say it. I think I'd rather prefer, I'd prefer De La Cruz and Kiner Falefa to Arozarena this year.
Love this trade for the Rays. Who'd they give up
yep,
and who'd they get?
That's your favorite thing to say about it.
Because that's how a lot
Mostly
of people
true.
Feel about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
if it's just De La Cruz, Chris, and Chisholm's playing for the Yankees and hitting home runs left and right,
you're bummed.
I'm not bummed. I mean, I'm still happy they did something, but I'm not as excited.
Kiner Falefa feels like
yes.
the more useful player here.
He's got a higher WAR than Chisholm. I know
Dejan's
a guy
Reynolds.
That believes in the sabermetrics and analytics.
Does he?
I think so. Maybe I should text him and ask instead of just making blatant statements like that. But
Kiner Falefa is going to be high. Like,
they got a 3 WAR player.
People have to,
for a 29th rated prospect.
People have to think about Kiner Falefa in a very specific way, and I think it'll help conceptualize him a little bit better. This year, now he hasn't been this player offensively until this year, but this year, he is Josh Harrison 2014.
Yes, that's exactly
that's
how
what,
I'm looking at it, Chris.
That's what the player, well, I'm saying that more for our listeners, if they're still on the fence about this, than you. He's Josh Harrison 2014. Moreover, I will say this, to get way into those numbers I was crunching last night.
Oh, how long did the crunching take?
I was crunching till 1 a.m.
Damn.
Oh, we crunched, and I'm paying
Donnie,
the price
Donnie, did you
right
crunch
now.
Last night?
I'm
Once
paying
you got
the
off
price
the air,
till 1 a.m.
Did you unplug, or did you get right into numbers crunching?
I unplugged a little bit. I mean, I watched the game, but I didn't do crunching until 1 a.m.
Was there any crunching at all?
No.
I'm paying the price. Look at me, too. I look like crap right now.
I think you look fine.
But no, I mean, the one other thing about Kiner Falefa is I have told you guys before that when you look at ballparks where the ball tends to fly out, the Sky Dome or whatever the hell it's called now, Rogers Center, is always near the top of the list. Mm-hmm. The guy's like almost 100 points better on the road this year OPS-wise. He's an 800 OPS guy on the road. That is encouraging to me. He is not, at least in this sense, he's not a product of the ballpark where he plays. He's not a Coors Field merchant type of guy. That's all. What are you looking at me like?
I'm thinking about, because I did my bachelor trip to Toronto, and we went to a game there, Pirates and Blue Jays. And whenever Sky Dome comes up, I think of my friend Kyle, who might be a love child of Bob Huggins.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
he was there, like, and he went to one of the carts that was right outside the stadium because he didn't want to pay full freight for hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And he got like the street vendor giant hot dogs and downed like three of them before the game.
Sick.
Not really, but his move was to take his shirt off, so he was bare-chested at the game. Now, it's indoors.
Why was that his move?
Where do you come down on people that take their shirts off at sporting events?
Not a huge fan. I don't think I've done it in a very long time, and the only time I might have was because I wanted to like try to get a little sun. But why did he feel obligated to do it? Like, he thought it was going to help the food
digest?
Maybe
a meat sweat scenario?
Man, I've been at some ballparks where it is scorching hot out, and I've been wearing a black t-shirt, and I haven't taken the shirt off.
I've never taken my shirt off at a professional sporting
event.
You
have to either be, I think there's only two scenarios by which you can do it. You've either got to be absolutely shredded so that like people in your section are like gawking at you because you're in such good shape. Mm-hmm. You're such a picture of physical wellness. Or you got to be a huge fat guy. You can't have average dad bod and take your shirt off.
What do you think of Malzi's take your shirt off rules for a sporting event?
I do think that's pretty fair. I did it once.
Yeah? Which one?
The 2014, the Week 17 game against Cincinnati. It was like the winner wins the division. That game, Sunday Night Football. Yep. You remember which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, when Le'Veon got hurt.
Yes. Yeah, that game. I've never done it since or before that.
What made you do it?
I really don't know. I mean, I was with like some of my buddies. We were...
And that's a January game you're taking your shirt off for.
Yeah, I feel like it brings a little bit more character. You do it for the cold games. I mean, anybody can do it for a warm weather game.
Frostbite gives you character. Your nipple freezing off. Character building. Well, I mean, see, but at that point
okay,
in
how
your
tough
life,
is it to take your shirt off in 80 degrees compared to 8?
No, you're right. It does build character. I don't know if it's the smartest thing to do. But at that point in your life, you were on the fat guy end of that spectrum.
Yes.
I can
certainly
say
not
that.
On the shredded side.
No one wants to see just garden variety like Mahomes. If your body type is just Mahomes, you're just kind of there. Mm-hmm. No one wants to see you with your shirt off. They want to see the big fat guy like in Happy Gilmore. Happy rules or something like that. They want to see the big chases of the world. We got to do something where Harry Callis goes to a game. And as soon as like the Jumbotron cam sweeps, he's got to take
what
the shirt
off. What if he becomes a good luck charm and people start demanding he do it for every game and they go on a run? And he's like becomes the team mascot. Unofficially,
worse things have happened.
He's up on the dugout and he's like dancing around with his shirt off,
like one of the Chris Farley Chippendale sketch.
The Orioles had a guy like that in 79 who was not the bird; it was just a guy in overalls who had an Orioles shirt on, and he would spell Orioles with his hands, like YMCA, and the entire stadium there would go nuts. And even like Brooks Robinson and Earl Weaver were like, "We need this guy; he's our good luck charm."
If Callis went and did it and they won the game, and then he came back the next day, same deal. You'd have to do it.
Imagine Skeens giving a post-game interview.
He's just like, I saw Callis up there on the dugout. I saw that big beer belly jiggling, and I thought, I've got to finish this one out.
He somehow knows his name. He calls
might
him
be a
Callis.
Listener. He might be a listener. Let's not sell ourselves.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Short here.
I agree. It's time to go all access with Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL on CBS sideline reporter. She will have Steelers and Broncos when Russell Wilson goes back to the Mile High City in week two. And she is brought to you by Bet365. That's if Russell Wilson is the Steelers starting quarterback. I thought before practices it was 100% lock that he would be, but he's barely practiced because of this calf injury. Aditi, I'll start you with more of a serious question, then maybe we'll get into some tomfoolery here. The idea of a quarterback...
Don't we always?
Yes. The idea of a quarterback getting injured because of a very high-intensity fitness test to kick off training camp involving quarterbacks pushing sleds on the field before the first day of practice. Is this unusual around the NFL, this idea that they would ask a 35-year-old quarterback to do this? Just your take on how Russell Wilson got put in this situation to miss so many practices.
I have to be honest. I have covered the National Football League for 15 years. I can't say that I have ever seen that. Doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Doesn't mean that it hasn't been used to great result. I just am not familiar with that practice.
It's
which I think will cease to be a practice from here on out.
I was going to say, like, I hope it's a one-time deal with that practice, because if it sidelines him for much longer, I think they're going to be deeply regretting it.
I mean, I think about how Ben Roethlisberger used to practice at that age or not. I mean, I remember Ben Roethlisberger being in the backs on backers drill, like not really in it, but kind of pretending that he was the guy back there, and Todd Haley wanting him out of that circle. And it was literally no one was going after him. He just didn't want him anywhere near anything that could possibly do damage like that. But hey, I don't know, you know, over in Cleveland, or actually at the Greenbrier right now, racing Mike Vrabel.
Oh, I love the Greenbrier.
Teams do weird things.
You should have gotten that assignment. Mint juleps galore, great dining options, horseback riding, all that
fun
stuff.
And getting to race Mike Vrabel. You think he would have had me line up too?
I think I could beat Vrabel in a foot race right now. I'm in tremendous shape. I'm a finely tuned machine right now, Mulsey.
You're talking to Aditi. Why are you telling me? You've told me about what a finely tuned machine you are for weeks now.
Well, it was my cue to tell
you. Yeah, but can't Mulsey actually see you? I mean, Pony, I just saw you a couple weeks ago.
What did you think?
Again, have to be honest, can't say that finely tuned machine was
more like one of those
of the first 10 phrases that popped like, in my mind.
More like one of those washing machines that kind of, you know, makes some weird noises when it's going through
it
the cycle.
Guys.
Who do you think beat who in the race, though?
I was reading.
Aditi, who beat who in the race? Did Jameis beat Vrabel in the race? Who won that race?
I mean, apparently they're doing fine, but the one video I saw...
Uh-oh.
Oh, she froze.
Vrabel, and I kind of made a point of saying, I don't think former linebacker, isn't he? Like, why
and
can't
Jameis?
And I don't care that quarterbacks are not necessarily, you know, Jameis has never been known for his speed, but like, isn't he 50? Is Mike 50?
Close. He's getting there.
It's got to be 50, right?
Big story from today's training camp. Yeah. Aditi, you'll love this. Fight.
Big
Justin
fight.
Fields gets hit. And offensive lineman, a rookie, McCormick from South Dakota State, took exception with it. He shoves a Landon Roberts, and then a melee breaks out. Your thoughts on training camp fights and maybe some of the best training camp fights you've seen in your decade and a half covering the NFL?
You know, I don't think that they are one size fits all. And it's interesting reading earlier this morning about Tyreek Hill saying that it was so good that the Dolphins had a little skirmish the day before, and out of his way to turn that into his Chiefs days, had some sort of fire to them and had some kind of fracas in training camp. And when you think about, and I think it was your friend Mike Florio who actually made this exact point in writing about this Dolphin, kind of folded in the postseason recently. So they need to have a little more of them. So we've been talking about this, especially in regards to this offense. Offensive line some time. Remember when Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro and those, there was nasty. There was edge. I don't know that we've seen that from this offense. I can't say because I wasn't there. So, oh, did it get out of hand? Ridiculous. Was it a tiny bit of chippiness that immediately got out? I don't know. But I don't think that edge in training camp is always a bad thing.
Donnie, I'm going to ask you to put Aditi on hold here because we're having technical glitch issues here where she's cutting in and cutting out. So we'll bring her back next week and fix that. I don't know how we fix that, though. You think that's...
That's a Wi-Fi thing, I think. I don't think that's a bandwidth thing on our end.
She needs to hardline herself in. She needs an Ethernet cord next time.
She's on a phone, probably, though.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Just taking one of those big, bulky Ethernet cords and banging it off the old phone screen there.
So we'll bring All Access with Aditi back next week. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Hate to cut that short, but that was the issue there. Man, the football debrief, it's brought to you by a new sponsor, Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Get up there and check them out. Donnie will also have a show tonight from 6 to 7:10 before the leadoff show comes your way. Pirates and Astros tonight on The Fan. First game, possibly, for Brian De La Cruz.
And Woodford Reserve will pitch.
But this is a football segment, so.
Man, you got to be thrilled, by the way. A 1 hour, 10-minute show, that's just like a sprint, dude. You are just hitting the ground, absolutely feet flying and go.
Which, by the way, how is the running coming along in July? Did you get to your goal?
Didn't you want to do 50 miles or whatever of stuff?
Yeah, I got to.
I will walk.
I got just over it. And it was kind of a walk slash run.
I started off the month thinking I was going to cruise to that goal and then just got busy. If you count the golf course in the morning or something, then I probably got there, but I think I only ran about 15 miles.
Well, these double
miles.
Shifts, man, that doesn't make it easy, Don.
No.
Double headers.
I had three of the short ones this week and then another full-length one tomorrow.
Does your voice hurt when you do like a true 4.5-hour shift after being
honey,
an active part of this
tea
show?
And lemon?
Gets a little tired sometimes.
Yeah. That's when you let the Thee and Me show take over and you let those callers carry you home.
All right.
The debrief, July 31, 2024. I'm officially done with somebody on Twitter. And I think Malzi will be very happy about who this is.
Dove Kleiman.
Oh,
I knew
thank
it.
God.
What did he do now?
Really nothing that like set it over the top. I'm just, like, annoyed by almost everything he posts.
Did you see the Keon Coleman thing where he was basically making fun of Keon Coleman because he didn't know, like, I don't know the exact details. It's him trying to sign his contract with the Bills. I don't know if he doesn't write cursive or if he didn't know where to sign or if he was very confused, whatever. But Dove Kleiman sent out a post being like, Keon Coleman didn't know where or how to sign his contract, and then the crying laughing emoji. Mina Kimes dunked him into another dimension. She said, you're a fake person who bought this account for clout. Shut up. He sucks, man.
He might be listening because I think he's in La Trobe.
Dove Kleiman?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that when he did one interview to prove he was a real person, he said he lives in Israel.
I think there's a better shot that MLB Scoops is
no,
in La Trobe
than Dove
Kleiman.
Hold on a second here. He's posting his own videos from Steelers practice. Not videos that he took from another place, like his own personal
no phone shot.
Video. Yes.
No shot.
Then he's at Chiefs practice, too, because he's posting his own videos from Chiefs practice that don't come from anywhere.
So then I can almost guarantee you if
same
he's
thing
not,
at Chargers practice. If he's not just, he hat-tipped Chargers country.
If he's not just simply screen-grabbing, or I mean, if he's not just doing like the post-video that option
he's
you
not
can
doing
do on
that.
Twitter. Well, yeah, he's probably just screen recording whatever it is
no,
and sending it out.
No, these are unique videos.
His
Donnie.
Ass ain't in Latrobe.
Well, okay, then he's hired someone who's representing the Dove Kleiman brand.
The screen
to
recording
be
thing
the
could be legitimate,
there.
Though, because then he could just edit the video down so it doesn't look like
but
it's screen
Chris,
recorded.
But Chris, he's sending out videos
where?
That I'm not seeing anyone else have. He had an angle on the fight today that was just his and his alone from the stands. That was not taken from that Steelers fan.
He could also just save the video, I think. He probably knows how to save videos, and then he's just posting it completely as his own.
Okay, but I'm saying there's no...
The guy is not at Steelers training camp.
You don't put it past Dove Kleiman to hire someone to be there?
You started off by saying he might be there, he might
yes,
be listening
and now,
to
and
us.
Now I'm pivoting to another opinion because you guys have
aggressively
successfully
told you that
shot
you're wrong.
That down.
No, I don't think Dove Kleiman hired anybody to do anything because I think Dove Kleiman,
okay,
if he's even a real person.
Okay, volunteering for Dove Kleiman.
Who would volunteer? What sad SOB would volunteer to work for this jackass?
How many Twitter followers does he have?
284,000.
Exactly. People are addicted to the social media clout. Chasing.
I can get the exact same stuff on the NFL from any number of dozens of other people who actually do the work than from this loser.
Donnie, do you follow him?
I just unblocked him to look at all this stuff, and now
he's
getting blocked again.
I did for a while, but now I'm done.
You're done. You divorced yourself from Dove.
Dove Kleiman.
If he's in Latrobe, then I want to see him in this studio tomorrow. He can join us at 3:30.
He's going to be at Dino's Bar and Grill tonight.
Didn't people try to hunt him down and say, are you a real person? And he, like, it got very awkward. Like, he almost did one of those, like, witness protection interviews from 60 Minutes where he's behind like a shadow practically. Just total loser. Just exudes some of the biggest loser energy you could possibly imagine.
If Dove Kleiman paid you $1,000 a day to just videotape Steelers practice from the stands, would you do it?
No.
Don?
I wouldn't.
I don't know about that, Malzy.
Okay, say you would. But how many days are you doing that for? So you're making...
Well, I mean, if it's just Steelers practice, it's only like 3 weeks.
So you're making 21 grand or 15 grand for 3 weeks, maybe? They're practicing weekends too, dude.
They're going 6 days a week.
I'm not doing it. Are you doing it, Pony?
No.
Didn't think so.
Because I don't think I'd be... I don't...
Oh, no, you would take video that looked like it. The phone was dipped in a jar of paint
thinner.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I'd get
you'd
fired immediately.
Shaky cam.
He's like the Zodiac killer of NFL... aggregators.
It turns out Dove Kleiman is actually like credentialed up and gets Pony on the sidelines. He's like, hey, here's the best camera money can buy. Can you just take some pictures and post them to your Twitter account? Everything Pony takes just comes out grainy like it's a magic eye. I have no rebuttal
because you guys just ripped me for this stuff.
But I think you do
and,
the pictures
and most
on
people
purpose.
Agree with you.
I think you do it all on purpose. I think it's for engagement.
Can we go over Bill Barnwell's Hall of Fame projected classes that he put out today?
Sure.
He picked every Hall of Fame class for the next 10 years, so the next 50 football Hall of Famers. The Hall of Fame game is tomorrow night, and then the enshrinement stuff is over the weekend.
I'm too stupid to do something like that. It takes a lot of like conscious thought to do what Bill just did.
So how about this? Class of 2025, he thinks Eli Manning goes in on the first ballot.
I don't think he should. I always have said about the first ballot, that to me is reserved for the absolute best of the best. If you want to weight it a little bit because of position, that's fine. I don't think by that standard, Eli or Roethlisberger are first ballot Hall of Famers.
Okay. Does he have who else is eligible in each class?
Yes, he does.
Eli shouldn't be in on the first ballot.
Well, here's the argument for it, in my opinion. It's the Joe Namath award. Joe Namath is in for, other than the 58 championship game, for being the central figure in the second biggest game in football history. This guy, I won't even say the second Super Bowl against New England, although that was the feather in the cap or the cherry on top. He beat the undefeated Patriots. If not for that, he's not in my opinion, even with his last name and who his brother is. So
I just don't think
they already have a precedent for people like that, Chris, is my point. They have the Joe Woolley Namath precedent. You win a big game and you're a good quarterback.
Joe Woolley Namath? Was he a mammoth?
Joe Woolley Namath. Did I say mammoth?
You said Joe Woolly Namath, for sure.
Like a woolly.
Woolly bully.
All right, so they have Manning, Antonio Gates, who I thought got snubbed last year.
Yeah, he did.
Terrell Suggs going in on his first year of eligibility.
First ever inductee from Ball So Hard University.
Jared Allen getting in on his fifth try. And how about this? Vinatieri on his first crack at it. That's the best kicker of all time.
More actually, Vinatieri is a better case.
Is he the leading scorer in league history?
He has to be. That's Gary Anderson's third.
I mean, he played on so many good teams.
Yeah, he has
too.
The most points in field goals.
I think Vinatieri has a better case as a first ballot Hall of Famer than Eli does. I'll say that. How many of his kicks directly won
Super
Bowls?
I have zero issue with Vinatieri going in.
But I think he's a more deserving first ballot guy than Eli.
And then guys who are eligible but not getting in, he's got Marshawn Lynch, Luke Kuechly, his two guys. All right, then the next year.
I think Kuechly might be a first balloter.
2026, he has Breeze career. In his first year.
Breeze, I'm fine with that.
He has Larry Fitz in his first year.
Fine with that.
He has Richard Sherman in his first year.
Not sure if I'm okay with that.
Well, then you won't be sure of these two. First year guys getting in, Jason Witten.
No.
Frank Gore.
No. What does Frank Gore get? Is he Susan Lucci getting a Lifetime Achievement Award for going like 10 straight seasons with a 3.7 yards per
yes,
carry?
Yes, because he's third all-time on the leading
He is a
list.
Compiler. Frank Gore's biggest contribution, or the best thing I can say about him, is that he lasted for an eternity at a position where
I
people
understand
don't.
That, but I do think that is an endearing quality. I don't think that alone should get you into the Hall of Fame.
Endearing.
But the fact that he played for so long at such a demanding position, I do think is a...
Better running back, Curtis Martin or Frank Gore?
Curtis Martin.
Did Martin go in on the first?
I don't think so.
Frank Gore shouldn't be in on the first ballot, man. Dude, the last several years of his career was just a slog.
All right. So, class of 2027. Big Ben first year. He's a good guy. He's a strong guy. Big Ben.
I would not put Ben of Breeze, Ben, Eli. I think only Breeze should be a first ballot guy.
Well, too bad, Mulsey, because Donnie and I disagree with you.
I know. This is a Democratic show.
Adrian Peterson getting in on his first year of eligibility.
He should.
Yes.
Yeah, he should.
Gronk getting in on his
should.
First
yes.
year of eligibility.
Easy, yes.
And then third swing and in for Kuechly and Marshawn Lynch.
I'm more okay with that, I guess, on the third swing.
For who, Marshawn?
Probably both of them. Kuechly was great.
So Kuechly misses out twice.
Yeah, Kuechly was great. He just has a short
I've got
career.
No issue with either of those guys in the Hall of Fame.
Fake John and Robinson says Frank Gore is the aggregator. He's the Dove Kleiman of running backs.
2028, Brady in his first year.
Yes.
J.J. Watt in his first year.
Yes.
Yes.
And then there's not really a robust list of guys in year one.
Okay.
So this is who fills out the Hall of Fame that year.
Oh, boy.
Pouncey.
Wow.
Marshall Yanda. Earl Thomas.
Man, Thomas fell off hard at the end of his career.
Yes, he did.
I mean, Were the last two guys that... I mean, I know Yanda was a good player. I know Thomas was a good player, but were they that good?
Is Pouncey a slam dunk Hall of Famer if we take our black and gold colored glasses
off? I think he's borderline.
Yanda made the Pro Bowl
who's
8 years in a row, but
better,
who gives a rat's ass about the Pro
Bowl? Who has
a
better case? Here's a thought on two Steelers, one still active. Who is a more deserving Hall of Famer right this second, Cam Hayward or Marquise Pouncey? One vote for two people. Oh, boy.
I actually...
Oh, boy. I've got the gears over there churning and
you
turning.
Do. Oh, man.
He's got to play the NBC Nightly News theme again.
I actually
gotta think
Pouncey.
So hard.
Me too. But I hate to say it.
I'm not
it's just
sure.
They've kind of had reversal careers.
All right.
Pouncey was so good
it's just
early.
It's surprising to me that you both said Pouncey because I would think you'd be victims of recency bias.
Fast forwarding to 2030.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers and what Barnwell thinks will be his first year of eligibility. Travis Kelce in what Barnwell thinks will be his first year of eligibility.
Yes and yes.
Von Miller in what he thinks will be his first year of eligibility.
I think so.
Bobby Wagner in what he thinks will be his first year of eligibility. And then, to fill it out, in his fourth try.
A.B.?
Mr. Big Chest.
Let's go.
How that?
Well, Chest will be... He'll have been dragged through the mud a little bit enough, I think, at that point where, like... Guys who are inferior players maybe get in before him, that they'll let him in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You
get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.